Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Hey, Fountain family and friends, we are so glad that you would take the time to join us for this important time of encouragement and inspiration. And we can all use a bit of that right now. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Apostle Paul speaks these words after giving us a rundown of what love should look like when we love people. He says in verse 13, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Grant did a great job of giving us an inspiring message of how we maintain our faith in God, the only true constant, to get us through the most difficult circumstances, and not only get us through, but allow us to grow and thrive in even the most uncertain times. He called us to remember what God has already done for us, our everyday provision and blessings, but ultimately, what Jesus did for us on the cross and through His resurrection. God has already proven Himself faithful, and that should in and of itself be confidence and assurance, especially for those who are in Christ. And we believe that this is true. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now, in our moments together here, let's think about hope. While faith's focus is in what already is and proven, hope is the fruit of having faithfulness. It's what sustains us, knowing that God is faithful and He cares about us. The book of Hebrews tells us, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So what about hope? Honestly, friends, I can't think of a word that's more needed in our world today than hope. We are all dealing with some uncertainty, maybe rejection, maybe loss of income. Some have lost people very close to them. And let's face it, holding on to hope can be difficult, yes, but not impossible. When Jesus walked out of the tomb, the word impossible left our vocabulary. So hope is what can keep us going. It's what can keep us strong and persevere. And for the believer, we find that hope in Jesus because we realize that this world isn't all there is. This world is not our home or our final destination. In 1 Peter, it says this, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Friends, this hope we are talking about is not just a wishful thinking hope, or "I hope all my plans will come together" hope, but a hope that says all my options are focused on what God says is true of Himself. Our hope comes from believing in the promises of God. Biblical hope is defined by an expectation in God's promises for our lives. A promise that is certain to be made reality one day for each of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross and His power over death by His resurrection. Friends, our present circumstances are different, but not new. And trust me when I say they aren't the last set of difficult circumstances we will face. and we can all get through them, but we must place our expectation in the promises of God. There's a quote by G.K. Chesterton that says this, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no hope, it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is merely flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength." You see, having hope means you can have strength. Having hope means you can have a peace, that you can have a momentum in your life to carry on, and not just for you to carry on, but to help others carry on as well, and even thrive. You see, your hope can be contagious. I read a quote that said this, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them." Is that the world you're living in right now? Because we live in a world that seems pretty hopeless. This leads some people to live persistently in negativity and have the lack of positive expectation. And this too can be contagious. So are you a hopeful person? Do you struggle to have hope? Is hope just optimism or wishful thinking for you? The New Testament scriptures were first written in the Greek language and then translated into our English words. The Greek word for hope is elpis. The word elpis has a broad definition of expectation. For Christians, it means expecting something good or joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. The word hope is typically combined with prepositions like hope in God or hope of glory. But for the believer, our hope is directed and specific, not vague, not uncertain, and should be lived out as a verb, as an action. Our hope will be reflected in the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think, the feelings that we feel, and in our actions. Think about the last 5 weeks right now. Have your words or thoughts, your feelings or actions, have they spoken hope to the people around you? When they look at you in all of those ways, do they see that you're a hopeful person? Peter describes this hope that Christians have, saying, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, looking in context, the audience Peter was writing to were Christians scattered in various regions of Asia Minor, which today is modern-day Turkey. Their basic problem was to live for God in the midst of a society ignorant of a true God. Because they were Christians, they were misunderstood and subjected to cruel treatment. You ever feel that way? Friends, even though they were going through struggles, the believers had hope. Not just a hope for when they died, but a hope for everyday life. And that's the hope that we're talking about. N.T. Wright describes this living hope. He says this, "It is all because of what happened at Easter. A new reality has opened up in the world, a new kind of life, both inward and, importantly, outward in holiness and in the hope of the resurrection." You see, Christ's resurrection gives a living hope, a hope that moves with our life in the different seasons and in different periods of our life, a living hope that is both current and for the future. For Christians, we place our hope in the person and the promises of God. Hope is not placed in ourselves or in our circumstances, but in the God who controls our circumstances. In the Bible, hope refers to that which, though certain, is not yet fully realized. That thought is affirmed in Romans chapter 8, where it says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have?" That is so logical and so true. You see, hope involves dreams and imagination, being able to see what can be. We can and will be out of our present circumstances, sure enough. But hope is only hope while we are going through them. When we get to the end and are out of our circumstances, only then is our hope realized. But we have to maintain hope. And we also have to help others maintain hope as well. The Christian hope is not simply a trembling, hesitant hope that perhaps the promises of God may be true. It is the confident expectation that they cannot be anything else than true. Listen to what these powerful words say from God in these scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." In Ephesians 1, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." In Hebrews 10, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." In Isaiah 40, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." In Psalm 33, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love." In Romans 5, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And in Psalm 130, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope." Now, many of you know that I love to watch movies, and there's a bunch of good movies that I love to watch. One of them is a movie called Shawshank Redemption. Maybe you've seen it. The gist of the movie is about a man, Andy, who was wrongly accused of murdering his wife and was thrown into the Shawshank prison. But while in prison, he earned some trust in the library where he worked, or with the guards, to work in the library where there was a record player. And he decided to give the other prisoners in the yard a treat and played some music over the loudspeaker for all to hear. Well, while the men stopped in their tracks and just listened to the sweet music, Andy was caught and was taken and thrown into solitary confinement for a month. This scene of this movie clip I want to show you picks up with Andy rejoining his friends at a meal. Take a look.
"I'm Mr. Mozart to keep me company."
"So they let you tote that record player down there, huh?"
"It's in here. In here. That's the beauty of music. They can't get that from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music?"
"Well, I played the mean harmonica as a younger man. Lost interest in it, though. Didn't make much sense in here."
"Here's where it makes the most sense. You need it so you don't forget."
"Forget?
Forget that there are places in the world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch. It's yours."
"What are you talking about?"
"Hope."
Speaker, minister, and author Eric Thomas wrote in his book, The Secret of Success, that getting knocked back is really a step forward toward achievement. He encourages us in this, that every setback is a setup for a comeback. Let me say that again. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. Friends, we are all living in a setback in some way right now, some more than others. What an opportunity that we have to reevaluate our lives, to reevaluate our habits, our thought processes about what's important and what we value, and prepare to think different and get set up for a comeback. How are you using this time to make positive, impactful, and eternal changes to your life? There is a difference between people who thrive and people who decline over a long period of time. It's not that they don't get knocked down, it's that they bounce back up. You see, every successful person has had to come back from a discouraging circumstance one time or another. You can't have success without having some failure. And that's true of people I know personally and those I read about in the Bible. And you may know someone that's true of. That may be true of you. As a matter of fact, every single person in the Bible is a comeback story from something. Let me give you some examples. Joseph endured mistreatment from a dysfunctional family. And I bet there isn't anyone who doesn't have some relative you try to avoid at a family reunion. David bounced back from several devastating failures, moral, leadership, career, and even worse. Do you have any past failures? A great comeback is possible. Elijah suffered personal criticism. Nehemiah was discouraged with harsh political, legal, and social circumstances at the highest levels. He had wall-to-wall problems, literally. John Mark was rejected by a high-ranking Christian leader. And I know people for whom one negative comment from an authority figure, be it a teacher or a pastor or a coach, has marked them for life. You see, words have the power to bring life or to bring death. Peter was disappointed with his inability to withstand pressure and also disappointed with himself. Does that sound familiar to you? My number one source of discouragement is, unfortunately, myself. Can you relate to that? You need to speak life to yourself because your life matters to God and matters to others. And you need to believe that. Jesus was let down by people of all types. His friends let him down. His relatives let him down. The religious leaders let him down. At his hour of greatest need, he takes three guys and says, "I need your support." When he comes back, they are asleep. What kind of support is that? A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope has on those undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, they had all drowned. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. Why do you think that happened? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little bit longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. If hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should it have its effect be on our lives? As followers of Christ, we have a true hope. Because God reached down from heaven and he touched earth. His one and only son, Jesus, came willingly and with resolve. He came at his father's wishes to be about his father's business. The business of reconciling God's greatest creation back to him by sacrificing his own son. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he loves you. At the end of the Shawshank Redemption movie, Andy had escaped prison and made it to his destination. He buried a box for his friend Red at the end of a stone wall in a big field. When Red was paroled, he went to find that box, and inside was some money for him and a letter that Andy wrote. In that letter, Andy spoke with hope that Red would join him where he was and said this at the end of the letter. He says this, "Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping this letter finds you and finds you well, your friend, Andy." There are many video and picture compilations on media right now of people doing good things for others during this difficult time in our world. And as I'm watching the media, I saw one that showed a picture of a family and their front yard. They put a big sign up that said, "Hope is not canceled." Hope is not canceled. Friends, as long as God is on his throne, and as long as you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, hope is not canceled. Hope is alive and hope is here. You may feel like you are in a prison right now. Restrictions, limitations, threats of contracting this virus or taking on this virus, or the fear that someone you love would get it. our hope is that God's words are true and His faithfulness proves that is where we must live. It's where we need to live. No one can take that away from you. You can only give it up. My hope is that you don't give up. We need each other. God created us to need each other. Someone needs you. They need you to be hopeful. They need you to say with confidence that it's all going to be okay. Can you do that? Can you walk in that? Because it is going to be okay. The Apostle Paul said about his life, to live is Christ and to die is gain. For the follower of Christ, this life is but the beginning of our eternity. For the one who hasn't trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, this life is all there is. Someone needs you to speak to them about the hope there is in Jesus. They need you to live the gospel and speak the gospel to them. They need you to show them the way to the cross. You see, God is not finished with us yet. These days may feel like a setback, but because of the hope in God, whose promises are true, these days are just a setup for a comeback. And your hope may be the determining factor of that becoming reality. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." He also said this in Philippians 1, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Would you pray with me? Father God, we trust you. And Father, in the places of our heart where we have fear or doubt or anxiety, we need your help in trusting you, God. You can give us that. And we pray that you would give us people in our lives that can encourage us in that way. And Father, you would give us people in our lives that we can encourage that way, God. We love you so much, and we know that this is a temporary setback, God, that these difficult circumstances that we're in are just temporary. And we know that you are on your throne and you are in control, God. But we also know that good will come out of this. Though people will suffer and hearts will be broken and there will be grief with some folks, and they'll suffer some loss, God, you can take all of that and work it to the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, I pray that we will all place our faith in you, God, for those who are wavering that are believers, but for those, Father, right now who have never done that, Father, this could be their greatest moment yet. The greatest decision they could ever make would be trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior and confidently walking with you, Lord, in this life. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had together. And we thank you, Jesus, for giving your life right now. And we just pray that you'll be with us all right now, Father, as we take these next steps every day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. At this moment, we'd like you to take some time. And if you haven't already, go and get the communion elements ready, the bread and the juice. When Jesus came to this earth, there's a phrase that you may have heard, he was born to die. Jesus knew his purpose when he came to earth. It was to die in our place. It was to take a sinless man to put in the place of a sinful people, because that's the only way we could get back to God. And so Jesus did that for us. He gave his life up willingly. No one took it from him, Scripture says. And he did it to fulfill the prophets, the prophecy, the word of God. This was his purpose. And he won't come back. He's left this world and he's gone to heaven and he's preparing a place, Scripture says. But one day he will come back and he will come to claim those who are his own. But for right now, we remember that. We remember what he did in one of these moments called communion, the Lord's Supper, if you will. And it's celebrated or it's recognized through the bread, which represents his body, and the cup or the vine, which represents his blood that he gave as a sacrifice for you and me. He gave up his body to be crucified. And without his blood shedding on the cross, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no purity. And we have to trust in what he did is true. So at this moment, I ask you to join me in taking the bread. And taking the cup, the fruit of the vine. And pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for your resolve to do your Father's will, for your obedience to the cross. You gave up your life. Father, in the beginning, nobody understood. And even when it was happening, but God, we know now what Jesus did for us. And when he died, he opened up the way to come back to you. We still all have to make a choice to follow you, to believe in you, to trust you, God, in what you've done for us and have a relationship. But this is the way we remember. So Jesus, we thank you for giving up yourself on behalf of us to be obedient to your Father. You showed us the way that we can be obedient to. So we trust you and we thank you and we give you the praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.